It's not a Tuesday without Tuesday Book Club here on Breakfast. And when we talk Tuesday Book Club, when we talk books in general, there's only one man we do it with, and that's Andrew Popel from 2SER's own Final Draft. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Nick. I don't mind if you want to talk books with other people. In fact, that's what we're here to encourage.
I'll only do it with other authors. I promise you that.
Fantastic.
All right, how's that?
Hit us up on the streets and you can, you know, talk to us about books.
Just find us, track us down. You know what we look like. Hey,
I'm carrying a book.
We are talking about a brand new Australian novel, aren't we?
It is a brand new Australian novel. I have brought in a book. It is, honestly, it's one of the most fun reads that I've experienced in a while. I'm finding myself kind of almost raving about it. I enjoyed it that much.
Good.
Yeah. Ian Ryan's The Student. It's a noir thriller that does nothing that you expect other than just, it just keeps the pages turning.
Aussie noir.
Noir seems to be really healthy in Australia at the moment. Maybe it's something to do with the themes of a bad time that's only going to get worse, that speaks to a generation racked by housing insecurity and a seemingly global madness that pits wannabe megalomaniacs against each other on Twitter and in real life. Maybe it's just really well written. I'm going to make an argument for the latter.
Good.
Yeah. So The Student, it takes us back to the mid-90s. Nate is enrolled in a business degree at the university in Gatton in 1994. It hardly seems worth it, though, as he's far more astute at making money dealing weed. That is, until the local supply dries up, his best friend goes missing, and the bikies come knocking on his trailer door.
Ooh.
So this is the setup, and when we meet Nate, he's in need of a friend. One friend specifically, his bestie and supplier, Jesse. But Jesse's gone missing, and the customers are sick of the inferior product that is all Nate has left. Now, Nate is the perfect middleman. Further up the chain, the characters become larger than life. And to be honest, it is so dangerous to be them, this book wouldn't last very long. Down the line, look, we have this melange of university cliques and subcultures, which, when you remember that this is the 90s, makes some really, it's really interesting nostalgia. But Nate, well, look, he's important enough to drive the plot forward and to only get beaten within an inch of his life, then limp towards another, you know, extraordinary event. The Student, it tours us around Gatton and out to Toowoomba. Out to Toowoomba in a very non-Lonely Planet way. Seriously, you don't want to visit these places after reading The Student.
Wow.
Or at least not in 1994. we take in the underbellies. Is that word copyright now?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. We take in the underside of Queensland at a time that's not terribly far removed from the Bjorki Peterson era. And as such, the police are held in high suspicion by our hero, Nate. He's not really a hero, our protagonist, Nate. And so they never seem to trouble the narrative with much law and order. Look, the plot twists are brilliant as Nate finds himself running foul of grungy teens, bikies, exes, and food tech students. And because this is pre-smartphone, we travel along with him to each increasingly scattered encounter. So I spoke to Ian the other week about The Student, Ian Ryan, the author, and we had this great discussion about the way crime and noir has changed in the online world. The Student, it literally could not exist in a Web 2.0 world because it would just be Nate sitting in a cafe, mooching free Wi-Fi and tracking everyone down online. But as it goes in the book, in this disconnected world, it means that the phone booth really holds a central role. And there's an especially sinister twist concerning the burgeoning online economy. Many people will just love this book, but I think, Nick, you will particularly enjoy the way it connects in with the interconnectedness that is about to explode onto the world in the late 90s.
It's also set in the perfect time for me because 94, I was wrapping up uni or in the middle of uni, so I think I'm going to get a lot from it.
You weren't in Gatton, were you?
I was not in Gatton.
Bless, that's why you look so healthy now.
Yeah.
So look, this book is violent. But look, it's really quite a wonderful kind of violence. It's done subtly and it never becomes gratuitous. Every time Nate gets beaten up, and it's often, we're left discombobulated. Like, it's not sexy macho violence and the bruises don't fade before the next scene. We are sort of going along with him and it feels real. And given that violence is far too prevalent in our society, it's refreshing to see it handled in a way that is real, while also highlighting the utter pointlessness of ever raising one's fists. It makes for these incredible scenes, but it doesn't really help anyone get anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. But look, do I digress? Just a little. The problem with bringing you exciting crime fiction is that there are spoilers almost from the word go. Maybe one day, when I'm a better reviewer, I'll develop a technique for more subtle hints. But until then, take my word. Like, the student is a ride worth taking. And once you have given it a read, hit me up about the ending, because I'd love to know your take.
Okay, a twist ending. I'm excited about this. Well, if not twist, a contentious ending?
I have so many thoughts about the ending. Ian, if you're listening, Ian, your secrets are safe with me. Ian and I did have a secret conversation about the ending, but there's this kind of really special part about the ending that I think a very clever reader will be able to pick up on.
Do you think that there's a particular toned Aussie crime that's different from when you read crime fiction from other countries?
I'm reading just this amazing stuff like Black Teeth from Zane Lovett, which I read, I think that was late last year. When we think about Peter Pilates down the Hume,
yep.
When we think about The Student, I can't draw a straight line between these books, but they're all existing in this crime noir area. And they're doing it uniquely. And I think there's so much talk about the makeup of Australia's population and how we exist and how we sit as a country. And I think trying to throw a lasso around our fiction is as pointless as trying to do that around our population, because we've got so many people doing exciting things. And the only constant, perhaps, is that innovation. It's really wonderful.
Well, this sounds like one of the most innovative novels that you've talked about in that sphere. You're clearly excited about it.
It's so entertaining.
I can't wait to get into it. You said you chatted to the author, Ian. Is that up? Or...
You can check that out up online, yeah.
All right.
2SER.com.
2SER.com.
That's the one.
Go looking for Final Draft and tune in when?
10 a.m. every Saturday morning.
Andrew Popel, thank you very much. Let's do this again next week. In fact, what do we want to talk about next week?
Look, I want to reintroduce you again. Every now and then I like to talk about my other book club, the Aussie Classics Book
Yes.
Club. And look, we've recently done Kenneth Cook's Wake in Fright.
Oh.
There's an upcoming series from Channel 10. It's going to be exciting. It's heralded as one of the cult classics of Australian cinema. And the book is amazing. We're also looking into that sort of noir genre. I want to talk about that with you, Nick.
I absolutely want to talk about that. It is one of the great cult classics. I think they did a screening of it as part of Vivid just recently, where they actually found a proper film print of it to screen.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
That would have been something.
Also available upgraded on Blu-ray. Andrew Purple, thank you very much.
See you then, Nick. Bye.